This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending 2nd November 2018. Well, the year certainly goes by. Just returned back from the Silver and Gold Summit in San Francisco, California, and it was a very exciting show, especially at the end. I have to hand it to America Tusa, looking out into the future and seeing what's going on in the gaming industry. I'll come back to that probably in an update report in the upcoming weeks. For right now, let's get started. Huge drop in Apple hurt the entire tech sector and the NASDAQ. That's at the end of this week as I'm doing the report. Both may be failing tests under their 200-day moving averages. Most of us know that do any technical work at all, you hit the 200-day moving average and fall below that. That usually is the change of a major trend. Not always, but often. The S&P 500 is also stalling at the moving average lines. So all of these factors portend that the stock market may have peaked so far. These last few weeks, time will tell, and I'm certainly looking for the end of this month to basically get confirmation on this. So let's go with gold start off. Gold buying by central banks hits its highest level in almost 3 years. Well, read between the lines. What does that tell us? Gold buying by central banks reaches its highest level since the fourth quarter of 2015. About $5.82 billion was spent during the third quarter to boost central bank reserves. The buying was offset by heavy selling of gold-backed funds during the same period. More than 148 metric tons of gold were bought by the national banks in the 3 months to the end of September, a rise of 22% over the same period last year. I want everyone to remember that the central banks have been net buyers of gold for the last several years, actually, but it's one of those things that we really don't get told about very much. The World Gold Council, a nonprofit association of the world's leading gold producers, said other big buyers of gold during the third quarter were the central banks of Turkey, Kazakhstan, and India. In Europe, the national banks of Poland and Hungary also ramped up gold purchases. Next up, I wouldn't consider it my most reliable source, but certainly great respect for John Ng. His title is Legend, which is John Ng, connected in China at the highest levels. Says China may peg renminbi to gold and warn next downturn to set rival to the Great Depression. And of course, myself and many others have made the same claim. Mr. John Ng, 31st of October, this economic cold war is about the future world leadership for global economic, technological, financial, and geopolitical dominance. We believe that the tariff war is about Team Trump's desire to contain China, who already has taken a lead in the high-tech field and is now pushing for alternatives to U.S. hegemony. The inclusion of an anti-Chinese poison pill notice in NAFTA 2.0 opens up a new front, making the so-called free trade deal not so free. Good article. I've met John on the speaking circuit. Great thinker. A lot of great knowledge. Straight shooter. Really can't say enough about him. Suggest you come back to KWN and read the entire article. From my friend Chris Martinson at Peak Prosperity, is the long-anticipated crash now upon us? Again, I won't read this whole thing to you, but I think some of these graphs are really, really important. The October route, which obviously I'm saying we're doing this the 2nd of November, we've got about a 15%. So 6.7 trillion vanished from the global equity markets since late September. 1 month, 50%. That's a huge move in equities. Us gold people are used to these type of moves, but not in the equity markets. They move much, much slower over time. And this is a big decline, as you can see by this. Looking at the S&P 500, you can see the 2018 start right here, where my cursor is. And now we are below that. So basically, we have wiped out the entire gain for this year, 2018, over the last month or so. And of course, this is starting to cause some concern, obviously, with those that are down on their stock portfolios, or let's say that they're less, have a lower number to them than they had, let's say, a month ago. And once we get into that situation where people start to feel vulnerable to further decline, that's when the selling will accelerate. This is from the Federal Reserve. and it shows the exponential growth in credit markets. And this is something that had this little gap here that almost destroyed the world, according to Chris, and I agree. And of course, it says, I've said many times, Richard Russell's famous inflate or die. A expanding credit system has to continue to expand or it will start to collapse, fold in on itself and deteriorate. So there is always, as always, Chris does great work. And we can see what the bond market looks like here. He's in a Barclays high yield bond ETF. And it's getting this big rounded top. I mean, this is obviously to me a top coming in here. You can see you got this little kind of last oomph to it. And now we're coming down into this line here. And really, the bond market and the stock markets are really not negatively correlated. I expect to see a lot of bond market and stock market, especially in the larger aggregate like treasuries, to coincide with the overall market. There will be exceptions in the corporate bond market because there will be some companies that are actually doing well and are able to pay their dividends and that type of thing. But overall, they're more highly coupled than most people believe. Next up from DSmog blog, peak shale. Is U.S. fracking industry already in decline? Very touchy area, and I am starting an ESP Energy Stock Profits newsletter that will be launched out of London late November. So the last week of November, I'll be in London, and we will be talking about this opportunity in the energy space. And it's not just oil and gas, although that's primarily what we'll be covering initially. Anyway, back to this article. In 2016, lower oil prices led to an overall drop in production for shale companies, which use horizontal drilling and fracking to extract oil and gas from shale formations such as the Marcellus and the Permian Basin. This is one of the few relatively positive financial periods for an industry plagued by high costs and low returns. So the article goes on to say, as I've said in many others, that this whole situation with fracking certainly has been a boon to a lot of these companies. It does produce more. In other words, the net offtake in the United States is higher than it was. I won't argue that fact. But these things have a short lifespan, and they are improving. The technology is getting better. But if you look at it objectively, at least as I see it, and I've fairly well studied here, it's not all that's cracked up to be, pun intended. So time running out for frackers in deep debt. At current oil prices, most fracking companies are losing money while trying to get every last drop out of the known sweet spots in the American shale plays. Under these conditions, the industry is having a hard time accepting that what Papa Thomas and Kilsgård have said could be true. These companies can't hope to pay back their massive debts if the best days of the major shale plays are either in the past or rapidly approaching. So who'll be right? For nearly a decade, the fracking industry has been promising the profits are just on the horizon, but they have not materialized. Not even the ideal 2016 scenario described by Wood Mackenzie's Clark. Has the industry run out of good rock? In her book, McLean quotes one industry investor whose words should strike fear into the hearts of those invested in or holding debt for shale companies. Our view is that there are only 5 years of drilling inventory left in the core, one prominent investor told McLean, whose book was first published September 2018. If I'm OPEC, I would be laughing at shale. In 5 years, who cares? And just a quick reminder for those on the free email list that the premium service has another report coming out this weekend, volume 20, 20 years, issue 11. Another year goes by. Opening thoughts: business cycles lengthened greatly during the 20th century as central banks learned to manage national economies by raising and lowering interest rates. Well, how's that working out? Not too well. So I go through my editorial, very short this month. And really what we did this month was we took a couple of really deep breaths and went back into a longer term perspective, which I think is a good place for everybody to kind of reflect on why they have a hedge position in not only precious metals, but resource companies across the board. And we select probably the best in the industry. And this is basically to prevent you losing too much money in the next stock market downturn. What we're doing, of course, is we're pretty much exited most of the general equity market, holding precious metals and select resource companies that do well in a counter contra way, in other words, a contra cyclical to the general equity market. So we interviewed one of my favorites on cycles and went through basically everything that we could, which means precious metals, the agriculture, the weather, the war cycle. I mean, anything you can name, we probably visited it. Eric Haddock has been, I think, done extremely good work, and I'm not a huge cycle guy. As my friend Mike Maloney does some cycle work, but not in my view, not to the level that Eric does. So that was our interview for the month. We don't do an interview often. We usually do one or two a year, but they're usually worth reading. And then, of course, we did several company updates. I left out the letters to the editor because we usually answer those individually, and there are none that really stood out. I'm still neutral to bearish on the metals right here. Gold is the highest it's been in about 3 weeks. Ooh, big deal. It's had an opportunity to go through the 1350 ceiling this year four or five times and has not done it successfully. So until that happens, I'm not going to get real bullish, although trying to pick a bottom here is tempting. So I'm going to leave it at that. I will be back with you next week. And for our premium members, I'll be back with you on an as-required basis. Until then, I wish everyone the absolute best.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.